The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Higher, baby. Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis. And how's everybody doing out there? A big welcome to One Life Radio. We're broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia. And we're also on KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. How are you doing today, Ronaldo?
I'm doing well. Nice, beautiful day out here in Dallas. How are you?
I'm good. Well, I don't know if you saw it on social yet, but I picked up a dog this morning, just about an hour ago. Actually, it's been probably about an hour and a half now, but not that it really matters. But I ran out of coffee filters, and I forgot to get some. I didn't really leave my house yesterday. And so, anyway, I got up this morning, and I'm like, damn it, Jim, I forgot to get coffee filters, and I really need a cup of coffee. So I went to the Starbucks, which is nearby my house, which is nearby a Walmart. So as I was driving down, I spot this dog, okay? And it's like a big hound dog. He's beautiful, by the way. He's like a big yellow dog, and he's even got yellow eyes. Anyway, I'm like, oh, my God, look at – when I was thinking, what is this dog? And I was thinking maybe – because he was a hound dog, you know, and a lot of times dogs like that will stick by close by their owner, and he looked like he had a collar. Well, I mean, not look like. He did have a collar. And it looked like he had identification on it, too, but it wasn't. It was just a reflective light. Make a long story short, I locked eyes with him. And keep this in mind. I've got Charlie in the car with me, losing my mind, because Charlie loves to go to the Starbucks drive-thru with me. So I look at him. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So we kind of, like, lock eyes. And I'm talking to him through the window. And I say, it's okay. It's okay, boy. Hold on. And so put the car in park. Because I was in drive, getting ready to swing over to the Starbucks, and thought, how am I gonna quarterback this thing? And so I get out with my phone, and I actually cracked the windows and took my keys just in case, put my flashers on, and he came right over to me, and I was like, oh my God, this sweet boy. And Ronaldo, when I looked down at his paws, they were nearly bleeding. They were so far down to the quick. Wow. I mean, they were as short as they could possibly be without starting to bleed. So I'm like, oh, my God. So then this guy comes around the corner, and he said, oh, are you going to help him? And I said, yeah, yeah. And he was a Walmart employee. His name was Steven. And he's such a sweetheart. He was coming with a bowl and water and food to feed the dog because he said that he'd been trying to get inside the Walmart for days. And so I don't know if – it looks like because of his nails, he's probably been on the street, I'm going to say, for a good month based on, you know, the experience that I have with picking up stray dogs.
Yeah.
But he's here now at my home in Charlie's pen. And I got to go to Lowe's after the show and go get another kennel to put nearby. So until I figure out what I'm going to do with them. But can you believe it? So now I've got 11 dogs. It's just there's so many of them on the street right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's kind of sad, too, you know. With all this going on and people don't want to take care of the dogs or feel like they can't take care of the dogs because they can't afford to. So they're probably just letting some loose instead of taking him to the shelter?
Yeah, and you know what? He told me, too, this guy, he told me that a couple of weeks ago he saw somebody dump a big shepherd over on the other side of the Walmart. He heard, like, a screech, and then just, like, somebody taking off, and then he looked, and someone had dumped, a shepherd, a dog, outside of their pickup. And he said it was just heartbreaking, and the dog took off running. And it's just, I hate hearing stories like that. It's absolutely heartbreaking. But I don't know what I'm going to do with this boy because, again, he's a boy. Oh, and he's unneutered. That was a whole funny thing.
Yeah, how did Charlie react to him?
Oh, God, Charlie wanted to kill him at first. Good question. Yeah, Charlie was like, no, I don't think so. But now, so I have Charlie tethered outside of where he's normally inside, you know, the kennel. And the two of them are just chilling side by side, getting used to one another because, you know, I just don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. There's just so many pets out there that need our help. But there's no way I was going to walk away from that dog.
No,
not in a million years. I would have figured out something no matter what. And I did. So I text a friend of mine who was nearby and said, hey, can you come help me? I got to get this boy home. And I've got Charlie in the car. She was there in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, my friend came and helped me with the dog. And so, you know, so many good people out there like Steven, like my friend Powell, that are animal lovers that truly want to do the right thing. So if you guys know anyone that is looking for a good hound dog, he's beautiful, by the way. And I put one video just before I went live out on our social media. And of course, I'm going to capture more throughout the day. So, but thanks for listening to my latest dog dilemma.
I mean, and to think, if you didn't need coffee filters, you probably would have never met that dog.
Exactly. And so the universe, you know, sent me. I mean, we were in the same spot at the same time. And so, you know, and I have to believe that I, you know, was put there for a reason today. And it feels so good in my heart. My heart is so full right now. Seriously, there's no better feeling in the world than rescuing an animal that's lost and scared. You know, and I'm going to make a reference to a book that I pulled a couple of days ago, and I can't even remember why now, but it was something that we were talking about on the air. But Temple Grandin is an incredible author, and she's autistic, and she wrote this wonderful book called Animals in Translation. It was a national bestseller, and it was co-written as well with Katherine Johnson, but I was reading from it, and let me just read this a little bit, and then we'll go to break here in a minute. But it says, I don't know whether it's easier to traumatize an animal than a human being overall. I think it probably is. I do know that once an animal has become traumatized, it's impossible to untraumatize him. Animals never unlearn a bad fear. Then she goes on to talk about there's no reasoning with an animal who's been scared half out of his wits. Here's a classic example. She said when she was little, a friend of hers had a collie who became deathly afraid of the basement. Apparently, the dog had gotten really sick when she was a puppy, and my friend's parents put her in the basement so she wouldn't mess up the house. So afterward, the dog associated the basement with being horribly sick. Mm-hmm. And she goes on to say that that particular dog never got over its fear of the basement. And so the reason I'm reading that is because I think it's an important message to get out there today that kindness and compassion for all living creatures, all other human beings, all other animals, species, insects, everything, we have an opportunity every day to be kind and loving. And the reward that we get for it is just this amount of incredible joy and compassion that fills our hearts. So that's my message for today. We've got a great show coming up. Jared Ramirez is back on. I love this guy. He's so smart. He is the CEO of Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, and the sponsor of One Life Radio. We're going to be talking about the benefits of organ meats. And then Cody Myler is back. I love this guy, too. We're going to be talking about static versus dynamic stretching. And if we get enough time, we're going to be talking about compound versus isolation workout. So we've got a great show for you, everyone. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio. Went solo on that ass, but it's still the same. Long Beach is the spot where I serve my cash. Follow me, but don't lose your grip. 9 trizzies, the years in for me to the dot. So I ain't holding nuts back. And Snoop Doggy Dog 5 on the test. You know, it's like that, and as a matter of fact, cause I never hesitate to put on his back. Yeah, so keep out the manuscript. You see that it's a must, we drop gangsta. What's the dot point's name? Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we have Jared Ramirez on the line. He is the CEO of Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, and sponsor of One Life Radio. Enviromedica is an innovative natural health and wellness company applying science-based evolutionary theory to understand what drives the human body toward or away from optimal health. His research is reflected in full-spectrum offering of premium foundational products to support the body's ancestral biology. Jared has been with the company since 2007. You can visit them at enviromedica.com, and that starts with an E, not an I, enviromedica.com. How are you doing today, Jared?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you.
Good, good. Did you hear that I adopted a new dog this morning?
I did not. What kind of dog is that?
He's a hound dog. You know, I'm not a breed snob, and so I try to never really know or care, but he looks like a hound dog to me. He's all golden with even golden eyes. He's a beauty. And I was headed to go get a cup of coffee this morning because I was out of coffee filters, and there he was at the corner by Starbucks and Walmart. And anyway, so I have another dog. If you'd like a nice hound dog, I'd be happy to drive him to Houston. Austin. You're in Austin, right?
I'd have to check with the sheriff on that one. My wife is dealing with the stay-at-home kids thing right now, so there's
Well, what a great time to adopt
right
a dog.
Yeah.
Do you have a dog?
We do. I'm definitely a dog person. We have a toy poodle. We've had for about 12 years, so.
Oh, wow. Well, I think you need it. And is the toy poodle a female or a male?
It is a female.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm being very serious. So ask the sheriff. I'll drive it to Austin. If you might want to diversify your home with a nice hound dog, just let me know.
I will get back to you on that.
Okay. Some people push drugs. Jared, I push dogs. So.
There's worse things to push out there, so I'm with you.
Yes, that's one of my old vines that I've been using for years, but just to try to make light of the subject because it is such a problem, the overpopulation of animals. But it's always great to have you on the show, and I support you, and I love that you support us as a sponsor of One Life Radio. And you know, that's part of where your money goes is educating people about how to have their best life, and that goes with you know, adopting animals or the supplements that they take or the food that they eat. So, you know, today we're talking about your two supplements that you sell called Organ Complex and Bone Marrow. Not specifically that, but you know, we're going to get to it because this is a very important subject that a lot of people don't understand, the nutrients that are in these types of food or these types of supplements. So, you know, the Western diet today really is extremely nutrient deficient. We all know that. It's full of processed foods, factory farm beef, and toxic dairy products. Okay, so this vitamin deficiency is a major cause of illness and obesity in America. Would you agree with that?
I would. I think, you know, it's not... I mean, vitamin deficiency is just part of the story. I think,
yeah.
You know, as human beings are wired to for energy conservation and to, you know, basically consume as much caloric intake as they can. So I think that, you know, the industrial food complex as it exists today is kind of set up to it basically feeds that evolutionary wiring, but in a very, very negative way.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm having a vision right now. I was back in West Texas a couple of weeks ago, actually, and I actually drove by some of the factory farms, the feedlots that I'd heard people talk about for years but never seen it for myself. The stench that was in the air, Jared, was unbelievable. It was so disgusting. Thousands and thousands and thousands of cows just lined up in these fields, you know, in these feeding lots, getting ready to go to slaughter, you know, completely confined, stepping in their own, you know, feces and stuff. It was absolutely disgusting. And that's actually an improved environment from where they come out of these factory farms. And so this is a really important subject because your products come from New Zealand and they're all grass-fed and grass-finished, and that's really what differentiates really good meat from bad meat, right?
Correct. I mean, you know, it's, I guess the you know, anecdote is, you know, you're not just what you eat, you're what your meal ate and how your meal was
right.
treated, you know, and so
right.
animal husbandry is really a focal point of our company with respect to any animal-based products that we produce. You know, in New Zealand, again, there are, you know, grass-fed, grass-finished operations here within the U.S., but I think New Zealand is a country that has adopted animal husbandry at a very core level with how they produce animal products there. And speaking of factory farms, I'm right there with you. I used to live out in California, and there was a long stretch of highway in between the LA area and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I'd drive back and forth there for college, you know, many years ago. And you want to talk about a giant feedlot? There was probably one of the biggest feedlots I've ever seen in between Los Angeles and San Francisco, and you can smell it coming from a good 40, 50 miles away. It's pretty awful.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm thinking I'm breathing this stuff in. I can only imagine, you know, what these animals have been exposed to, and that's once they've been put in these feeding lots and taken out of, you know, confinement. And so it was very disruptive. It was to my brain. It just really hurt my heart. And, you know, and I asked myself, you know, how did the modern American diet get to this point? What do you think happened?
Well, I think, again, you know, it's, you know, I think that it's a number of things. Primarily, it's really irresponsible capitalism. You know, it's a need of producers of these animals and animal products to extract every last penny they can out of every square foot and every head of cattle that they can produce. You know, so but I do think that there's a really large misunderstanding within those communities and industries that regenerative agriculture can actually be very profitable. And I think that there's, you know, there's starting to be a shift in understanding, definitely not at the scale that we need it to be, but there is a shift in consciousness with people that do consume animal products. And so hopefully it continues on that direction. But again, it's really the root, you know, the root cause of this is irresponsible capitalism and the place, you know, basically prioritizing profits over health, you know, and as long as that continues, that's going to continue to be an overriding theme.
Well, yeah, and health and the respect for the animal, you know, it's just wrong. I 100% agree with you about it just being irresponsible capitalism. I love that term. I actually wrote it down because that's really where we got to where we are. And so, you know, it's so important, though, some of the nutrients that we've ancestrally become accustomed to, and vitamin deficiencies, things like that, from not eating good quality, whatever it is. So, you know, how does our diet today compare to our ancestors? And can you run through what a typical daily diet might have looked like hundreds of years ago?
Well, hundreds of years ago, I would say that the diet was probably worse than what it is today. And I mean that in the sense that, you know, I there has been some positive developments in you know, modern food production versus, say, you know, hundreds of years ago, right? The agricultural revolution was, you know, the agriculture became more of a thing about 10,000 years ago, plus minus, right? And so the introduction of grains and grain-based products being a staple food in most, in the diets of most, I think was really a turning point. And, you know, I think you're familiar with the work of Dr. Weston Price. He was a dentist that traveled around and basically looked at indigenous cultures and, you know, what, you know, his viewpoint was coming from kind of dental health, right? And so with the introduction of modern foods, modern agriculture, grain-based foods, and a departure from more traditional foods, fermented foods, animal-based products. You know, dairy was also a staple in a lot of ancestral diets, but the quality of the dairy was of course, very different than what we're seeing now. But through that introduction of these more these agricultural based foods, he showed a shift in health that was quite substantial.
Yeah, I'm very, very familiar with the Weston Price Foundation. They had a symposium here in Dallas just a few months ago, and there were so many incredible speakers there. Some of them that have been on the show multiple times, like Dr. Nasha Winters, and just a lot of really cool people talking about so many things that we need to know and just trying to get the education out there. But, you know, so let's go to this, because I really want people to get this information. Most people, when they think of liver, they hear organ meat. And so what are some other meats in this category, you know, not besides liver, that are healthy with a lot of nutrient value?
Sure. So, I mean, organ meats are, you know, they're effectively known as offal, right? Or offal. Mm-hmm. And so heart, liver, tongue, brain, pancreas, kidney, gallbladder, spleen. Effectively, it's, you know, all of the other various internal tissues of the animal.
Well, you know, it's funny, and it's so funny. This always perplexes me. Why do we think any differently about an organ meat than we do like a thigh or a, you know, a muscle or, you know, bone broth, all these things? If you're going to eat the animal, I say you utilize every single piece of that animal out of respect, if nothing else. And I think of when I was in Europe, there was a thing called head cheese that I was exposed to. And I was like, what? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't even look at that and be appetized by it. So I know. You're referring to. Yeah.
But it's a cold cut. And when I lived in Europe and it's basically, they call it head cheese, although it's not dairy. It's basically brain, eyes, and ears, all put into like this gelatin and sliced up. And, but you know, you have to respect the fact that at least they're using the whole animal. And, you know, I think that we need to open our minds, that if we are going to eat meat, that we definitely should be, you know, eating organs along with it. And that's what, you know, but I could never do that. And so I just can't, I can't even put a piece of meat in my mouth at this point. But, you know, these two products that you've developed, Organ Complex and bone marrow, which come from grass-fed New Zealand pasture-raised animals, is something I could entertain, you know, in my supplement regime for something to give me extra nutrients.
Well, and the same here. You know, I'm really, you know, as much as I practice an ancestral lifestyle myself and for my family, you know, I mean, I think that you know, I'm also in that camp, right? Like, I'm not out eating head cheese. I can guarantee you that.
Right.
So I,
exactly.
You know, I think, you know, as far as I go on the culinary side in the kitchen is really, you know, using beef liver, chicken livers, you know, making bone broth, things like that. But, you know, am I going to eat brains and actually, I take that back. I love bone marrow. That's a definite win for me. But yes, I think that, you know, part of, you know, moving our mission forward is really how do we create products that can have a wider audience and help a broader range of people, right? Because not everybody is open to consuming organ meats. So, So, you know, basically they're desiccated, freeze-dried forms that preserve all their nutrients in their natural physiological state in capsules. Mm-hmm. So it's a tasteless form. Yeah.
It's kind of like a win-win. I know that when we're going to go to break here, can you stay with us while I ask you just a few more questions after the break? Because
absolutely.
I want to talk about Dr. Oh, good, good. I want to talk to you about Dr. Alvin Dannenberg, who is fighting cancer successfully, who's incorporated your product, Organ Complex, and bone marrow into his regime. So we'll talk more about it. Everyone, we're going to go to a quick break for station identification, and we'll be right back with Jared Ramirez.
Let's do it. I love this song. Oh my gosh, I actually saw. Oh my gosh, Ronaldo, what's the name of this artist? I'm drawing a complete blank, but I saw him in concert at the Texas Hemp Convention.
Tone Loc.
There you go, Tone Loc. Yeah, he was awesome. We were at the Texas Hemp Convention, and it was the after party anyway, and he was there. But everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we have a special guest with us that's staying with us a little longer today, Jared Ramirez. He is the CEO of Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, and a sponsor of One Life Radio. Enviromedica truly is an innovative natural health and wellness company applying science-based evolutionary theory to understand what drives the human body toward or away from optimal health. Jared's research is reflected in a full spectrum offering of premium foundational products to support the body's ancestral biology. Jared has been with the company since 2007. Check them out at Enviromedica.com. That's Enviromedica.com. Okay, Jared, right before the break, we were talking about Dr. Alvin Dannenberg, who is doing quite well, actually, fighting cancer. And I don't remember the particular type of cancer that he has right now. It's not coming to me. But the fact
multiple
that...
Multiple myeloma.
What is it? Oh, that's it. Multiple myeloma. But he's using your two products, Organ Complex and Bone Marrow Complex. Or it's actually not complex. It's just called Bone Marrow, grass-fed, New Zealand, pasture-raised bone marrow. He's using these two products as part of his regime. Can you elaborate on that a little bit as why he chose those products and how it may be helping him?
So Dr. Dannenberg is actually pursuing a carnivore diet. And so his, as I understand it, he is eating only animal products.
Wow.
And so, you know, he does use the organ complex and the bone marrow as part of that that path that he's chosen. I understand he's doing quite well. I think also kind of from a and this is more in the anecdotal side with respect to organ meat consumption at large is the concept of like supports like, right? So effectively, you know, if you're looking to support bone health, you know, consuming bone marrow would support the health of the bone tissue, bone structure, and the bone marrow, right? So that's, you know, again, there's not a whole lot of science to really back those statements up. It's more of a kind of an ancestral philosophy and based off of, you know, traditional wisdom, if you want to call it that. And so that's what he's doing there.
Wow. So what was the science behind these two supplements?
Well, in terms of what, the nutrient content?
Yeah. And the development, I think it's fascinating.
Well, so bone marrow has a wide array of complex of fatty acids. It is a very robust source of what are called HSCs, stem cells, along with other cofactors. There's also a unique compound in there called AKG that's used in immune health. There's some research around that. With respect to organ complex, I mean, as we've discussed before, you know, animals are nature's bioconverter, right? So animals that, you know, even plant foods that we take in, we convert them into more usable forms. Not very efficiently, mind you, but we do so nonetheless. And so animal products are the most robust source of nutrients across the spectrum. I mean, you know, egg yolks, for example, has everything needed to sustain human life. So it's they're effectively, again, you know, going back to this kind of catchphrase, they're nature's ultimate multivitamin that don't rely on an organism or a human's ability to bioconvert them themselves.
Yeah, well, you just said, I think you just answered my question because I was going to ask you, you know, it says on the organ complex that it's the source of bioactive vitamins. That's basically what you just said, right?
Correct. I mean, again, you know, vitamin A is the one that I like to call the most attention to because it's, you know, the most you know, there's the most misinformation behind it, because most people refer to, you know, beta carotene, you know, the orange pigment that you'll see in carrots, for example, as vitamin A. It's not vitamin A. It's a provitamin A. So it supports the, your body can convert beta carotene to what's called retinol, which is the active form of vitamin A, but it does so in very inefficiently, and in some people it's more inefficient than others.
Right, and vitamin A doesn't get a lot of press. You know, just nobody talks about vitamin A. I think recently they are because of, you know, this whole COVID-19 thing. People are really, you know, trying to boost their immune systems, and vitamin A plays a vital part in your immune system as well, doesn't it? Just like vitamin D?
It does, and actually vitamin A, I think we've talked about this in the past, vitamin A and vitamin D are what are considered partner nutrients. Sufficiency in vitamin A prevents against toxicity from vitamin D and vice versa. So when you have an imbalance of one versus the other, yes, there can be toxicity issues for some folks. So, and especially for, you know, vitamin D is a very, there's a lot of attention being called to vitamin D right now, especially in the context of COVID. And so there's a lot of people taking high dose vitamin D. That is a definite situation where you want to make sure you have sufficient vitamin A intake to prevent, to protect against toxicity from too much vitamin D. And that toxicity is a sliding scale, right? So the more deficient you are in vitamin A, the greater the likelihood there is for even smaller doses of vitamin D to contribute towards toxicity symptoms.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, so, and both vitamin A and vitamin D are fat-soluble vitamins, correct?
Correct, that is correct.
And so, you know, people, like you said, are supplementing, you know, everybody's like, vitamin D, you know, all this, everybody's taking it. The recommended daily allowance, I believe, is 2,000 international units, and I know a lot of people believe that that's too low. Vitamin A, let's talk about that. What is the RDA on vitamin A, and what do you personally recommend, or what do you do for yourself? How much vitamin A do you consume, or do you just take the organ complex and the bone marrow to get the vitamin A that you need?
Well, so whole food-based forms of nutrients are always going to be the safest path, right? So, you know, food, there's natural mechanisms in there to limit toxicity to a large extent. And so vitamin A is a good topic for that discussion, because there is, you know, there's a lot of misinformation around the toxicity of vitamin A. But that typically revolves around concentrated nutraceutical sources, basically a kind of pharmaceutical-esque approach, right? With the typically a vitamin A palmitate and an oil base. And so when you strip out an isolated nutrient from its natural profile that exists in nature, your chances, the likelihood of it becoming an issue, or it having a narrower dosing window where, you know, if you a little bit too much, it can cause problems. You know, so as long as you're taking it in a food-based form, I think that the, you know, you can relax a little bit on obsessing over exactly how much you're getting. Personally, I take in the equivalent of around 3 to 4 ounces of what would be fresh liver in a capsule form. That's around, around 9 grams per week.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? The next time you're on, we're going to have to talk about vitamin A in depth. You pulled me out a little bit into the deep water. I'm going to have to do a little reading I'm going to have to go back to school here on the vitamin A thing, but it's always great talking with you. You have an incredible mind and an incredible company, and I'm so proud to have you as a sponsor. And thank you so much again for supporting One Life Radio and helping me educate America. We'll talk to you real soon, Jared. And if you're interested in the dog, go talk to the chief. Is that what you called your wife, the chief?
Or the sheriff.
The sheriff. Okay. Go talk to the sheriff and let me know if you're interested. And you take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. That's Jared Ramirez. You can find all of their incredible products at Enviromedica.com. We've got Cody Myler coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio. Stay tuned, everyone. Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and I have one of my favorite guys on the planet on the line, Cody Myler. He's also known as the Keto Cowboy. He is a health and fitness expert, trainer, instructor, and business owner. He holds a bachelor's in exercise psychology, a master's in sports management, and over 20 different fitness certifications. Cody began following a ketogenic lifestyle in 2014, and he spent the next 2 years learning everything possible about ketosis and a ketogenic lifestyle. In 2016, Cody founded a keto coaching program, helping individuals understand and incorporate keto into their daily lives. And in 2019, Cody founded the National Athletic Keto Association, also known as NACA, hosting the first keto carnivore bodybuilding competition, which I attended, by the way. Welcome back. I love this guy. Cody, how are you doing today?
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How are you doing? Are you surviving the quarantine?
I am, but first of all, I got to give you some props. Earlier in the show, you played a little Snoop Dogg, and that got me going right there.
There you go. I love Snoop Dogg, man. Yeah, speaking of Snoop Dogg, I've got a new hound dog. If I'm going to be pushing on everybody that I think will give it a good home that I rescued this morning, if you and your wife are interested in a nice hound dog, Cody. Oh,
we've got enough dogs as it is. I know.
But, you know, you're the kind of person that the kind of home that I'm looking for. Somebody with a huge heart, you know. You and your wife both are just wonderful. I really mean that with all my heart. You and I love having you on the show. And we went a little long on the first couple of segments. And so I apologize for that because there's really no one I like talking on radio to better than you, Cody, because you're so easygoing. You really are. And
well,
I can see why you've been.
A lot. Thank you.
No, it does. I mean it. Like, I feel like I'm talking to my brother. So, you know, I know that we want to get some good information out here today, though, to our listeners. So we were talking about static versus dynamic stretching. So first off, let's talk about this. How important is it to include stretching into our exercise regime?
I think it's super important. I don't care if you're the stay-at-home mom or dad or the elite athlete, stretching is a very vital part that you need to put in your life, whether if you're, you know, a hardcore person that works out all the time or even a person that doesn't work out and just want to be functional. You know, there's four different styles. You know, it's not just there's static, there's active, dynamic, and SMR, self-myofascial release. And all four of those protocols are different no matter what type of goal or lifestyle that you have.
Well, you know, I'm a terrible stretcher. I'm just going to say I'm that person that, you know, I need to make a strong effort to stretch. And I'm just not good at it. I don't know why. I don't know why. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that can, you know, relate to what I'm saying, but it is important. So can you tell us what does stretching actually do to and for our muscles?
Well, I would say one thing, part of the reason why a lot of people don't do it is, you know, it does. It kind of hurts to some degree.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But here's the thing. You want to be in the middle. You don't want to be so overly flexible, but you don't want to be so muscle bound. You're actually 2.5 times more likely for energy if you're one way or the other. You kind of want to be in that middle. You want to still have some strength with the flexibility in there. So even the most flexible people, they're 2.5 times more likely to have an injury somewhere down the road. And then obviously the people that are more muscle bound are the same as well. But there's different applications. You know, if you're a power athlete, like say that you're the guy on the back of the bobsled that pushes it, well, you have to have explosion. You have to have power. So you're going to be a little less flexible because you need to create that. Versus a ballerina, you're going to be a little bit more flexible because you have to have longer muscles. You have to have, you know, the range of motion to be able to perform the movements. I mean, what it does for your muscle is it activates the Golgi tendon, gets the muscle spindles going. And that way you do prevent injury down the road as long as you're doing the correct protocol for what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, I feel intuitively when I do stretch that it really does relieve stress, like stress in my body and my mind. Do you feel that way too when you're stretching? Is that, or is that just my imagination?
No, absolutely. I mean, I know a lot of people may not know this, but I have spondylosis. I have a lower back fracture. And fracture fires up. Oh, yeah, no. But when it fires up, all the muscles around that just tighten up. And I've got one of those Theraguns, and I use it, and it's almost like SMR, like foam rolling on steroids.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
the Theragun.
Just constantly just, yeah. And, I mean, I feel so much better after I use that for about 5 to 10 minutes, hitting the right, muscles and really breaking down the adhesions to make that muscle relax around that fracture. So, absolutely, it pushes blood through the muscles. It helps circulation through the body. So that's another reason why you feel a little less stressed once you have that, because you just opened up everything in your body.
Well, I'd forgotten that we'd talked about the Theragun, and so I know this is going to make people laugh out loud. So do you have to, can you Theragun yourself, or does somebody else have to Theragun you?
No. you absolutely can, especially the newer ones. They've designed them in a way where the handle is a little bit longer and you can be able to get in different angles and stuff. But no, absolutely, you can use it on yourself. You do get a little bit better result if somebody else is doing it, but you can totally do it and get a great result as well.
I totally have to get one. Okay, so let me ask you this. I don't want to run out of time before we get to this. But what's the difference between static stretch, or let me start over. What is static stretching and what is dynamic stretching?
Well, I'll give you the four of them. So the static stretching is, let's say you're standing up and you're going and you're touching your toes. You want to hold that for about 15 to 30 seconds. Don't bounce. You're just at a static. You're not moving. You're touching your toes.
Okay.
Active stretching is doing the same exact movement, going down and touching your toes, counting to about two, one, two, and then standing back up and repeating that 10 times.
Okay.
Dynamic stretching is movement patterns that you're about to perform. That's why you see a lot of athletes do high knees, butt kicks, karaoke. Those are dynamic stretches and dynamic warm-ups to get your body ready for performance.
Gotcha.
And SMR is a self-myofascial release, which is what most people know as foam rolling or cold rolling, you know, that type of deal, where those really break down the adhesions. Those are the ones that get deep in the muscle, so that way you can stretch the muscle out. So foam rolling and dynamic warm-ups are great before activity. After the activity, you want to do static stretching.
Okay. All right. We've got like 15 seconds. Last question. How do we know how much of it we need to do?
I think you just got to listen to your body. It'll tell you if its range of motion is decreased a little bit. But I would say every week, at least 3 times a week, implement about 10, 15 minutes of all the different stretches. You can go on YouTube and find tons of different active and static stretches to do.
All right, Keto Cowboy. And Instagram, it's at Keto Cowboy, right?
At Fit Keto Cowboy.
Fit Keto Cowboy. Okie doke. All right, Cody, always a pleasure. You have a great day. Let me know if you know anybody looking for a hound dog.
Will do.
All right. Take care, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.